Word of God holds us safely in the green pastures and still waters of God's will. It's like a welcome fence that is there, that is put around us, not to keep us in, but to keep the devil out. It's a protective word.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of the exciting Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Pastor Jeff brings you powerful biblical messages, along with practical applications that can help you grow in your personal walk with Jesus Christ. So stay tuned and be challenged, be encouraged, and be transformed by the power of the Word of God. Today on Life Talk, we begin a brand new message entitled, Three Signposts of God's Guidance. This is the final chapter on the series called Guided by God. To tell us more about today's message, here's Pastor Jeff.
One of the questions I've repeatedly been asked as a pastor is, how can I know God is guiding me? Well, the good news is the Bible is very clear about how to be sure that God is guiding you and not the enemy or even your own imagination. In fact, there are three signposts to God's guidance that assure you God's hand is pointing you in a particular direction. This final message in our Guided by God series is probably the most important and the most practical of all. So grab your Bible and follow along as I share the message, Three Signposts of God's Guidance. I would love to frustrate the devil instead of always saying, well, he's frustrating me. Jesus frustrated the devil by quoting the Word of God and staying within the parameters of the Word of God. Now, I have found that many believers today place more credence in experience than in truth. Put it another way. We put more credence on experience than we do the written Word of God. If I experience it, it must be true. If I feel it, it must be right. And we don't run our feelings, our emotions, our spiritual experiences through the sifter of Scripture. We just let them happen. Now, I'm going to be honest with you today. This happens mainly, mostly, most of the time, in what we call charismatic or spirit-filled churches, and we're one of those. If I've been around a long time, now, not too long. Don't run with that, but I've been around a long time. And my whole life has been spent in charismatic churches, so I know whereof I speak. Let me tell you, I have found that because people in charismatic churches who walk in the gifts of the Spirit have had some deep experiences with the Spirit of God, the danger is that you can trust something that is claiming to be of God or from God without testing it by Scripture because you've experienced it or you feel it or the emotion seems to lead that way. We're told, are we not? Didn't John say in 1 John 4:1? In 1 John 4:1, here's what John said. He said, don't believe every spirit. That means don't believe every message. Don't believe every experience. Don't believe every spirit. But test the spirits. Everybody say test.
Test.
It means try or prove. Kick the tire. Good grief. We kick a tire in a used car before we buy it. But something claiming to be God, we don't kick that tire. He's saying, kick the tire to see if it is of and from God. Now, why would John say that? He said, because many deceivers have gone out into the world and many antichrists have gone out into the world. Amen. And he said, you're going to have to be a discerning, smart, wise, biblical people or you're going to be deceived. This is what John wrote in the first century. The church was already being invaded by false teachers, false prophets. When Jesus was asked, they said, Jesus, what is going to be the sign of your coming? The very first thing out of his mouth, the Son of God said, the sign of my coming, first and foremost, beware of false prophets. Beware of false teachers. Beware of false messages. Messages that misrepresent Christ, misrepresent Christian living, misrepresent the Word of God. Beware of messages that twist like the devil twisted the truth to Jesus in the wilderness. Beware of it. Watch out for it. Discern it. Be wise. Amen. Isn't that what he said? Amen. I mean, from the time Jesus died and rose again from the dead, I mean, 50 years didn't go by after his resurrection that the church was infiltrated by all kinds of false teaching and false prophets, just like he said. The church world today is no different. See, the devil doesn't come to you in a red suit with a long red tail and a pitchfork and horns coming out of his head and tell you, "I'm here to deceive you." No, the devil comes like an angel of light. He comes like an angel. He comes like something that looks good, feels good, seems good, impressive. Charismatic, persuasive, influential, somebody that just slick, they look right, they sound right, they seem right. And let me tell you, the most successful deception is wrapped in 95% truth. Or else nobody's going to listen to it. Amen. If God is guiding you, he will never require you to compromise the written word or to place his word on the back burner in favor of an experience or an emotion. Never, never. Let God be true and every man a liar. Let God be true and every emotion a liar. Let God be true and every feeling a liar. Let God be true and every teaching a liar. If any of those things go up against and contradict the word of God, the first harbor light, it's out. Ixnay, done. You don't need to go on with it. The word of God holds us safely in the green pastures and still waters of God's will. It's like a welcome fence that is there, that is put around us, not to keep us in, but to keep the devil out. It's a protective word. The word of God, the harbor light of the word of God is the one infallible source of guidance that we have. It's infallible. If you understand it correctly, it will never fail you. And that's why the devil attacks it so much. That's why the word has always been attacked, because it is the very God-breathed word. It is the word of the living God, and it's infallible. So that's the first harbor light. I got to look for that. Is what I'm feeling, the direction I'm going, the decision I'm making, can the word amen it? And if there's not a verse about it, I guarantee you there's a principle about it somewhere in the Bible. Now, the second signpost is the Holy Spirit, which is a subjective guide. Jesus said, "I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. It's good for you that I'm going away, because going away, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And he, when he comes, will guide you." Everybody say guide. Now notice, he said the Holy Ghost is going to come as a guide. He's going to guide you into all truth. So Jesus said, "I'm going to send the Holy Ghost. He's going to guide you." Now, how does the Holy Ghost guide the believer? There's one main way he guides us, all right? It's an inner prompting. The main inner prompting that the Holy Ghost uses to guide us is peace. He gives peace, or he takes away his peace. If we're walking into something that is God's will, he gives peace. It is a deep, settled, abiding peace. I know in my knower that I have peace about this. I may not understand it, but I've got peace about it. You know, when we came and we found this building, when we were looking for a building for our church, when we put our eyes on it, we all went, "Oh my, no way." My elders said to me, all of them, they said, "Pastor Jeff, we can do better than this." Because it was a warehouse, it looked terrible, it was a mess. You haven't seen what it looked like. But you know what? The Holy Ghost deep inside gave us this deep, settled peace. That's where I want you. That's where I'm going to put you. That's where I want you to be. He gave us a peace. And he made a way, trust me, where there was no way. He gave us peace. He gave us a peace, a settled peace. It didn't make sense up here, but it made sense here. That's why the Bible says his peace is a peace that passes intellectual understanding. It passes intellectual understanding. His peace. On the other hand, there are times he can remove his peace and will remove his peace. You're making a decision. It looks right. It seems right. It feels right. But deep inside, you're losing peace. The closer you get to it, the more you lose your peace. The more you run around with that person, the more you lose peace. The more you head towards that business decision, the more you lose your peace. It's keeping you up at night. You feel tight on the inside. You had peace, but you don't have it anymore. I've lost my peace. And the Bible says, listen to what the Bible says. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now notice, what is the guard over the heart of the believer? God's peace. His peace. So that the Holy Ghost, and I love that word guard, because it's a military word. It's like a sentinel that is guarding over something. Like a Roman guard, a Roman sentinel. Like when they put guards around Jesus' tomb to keep him in. And what a fool's errand that was. You can't keep a good man down. Amen. Jesus got up from the dead. But they put a guard around it anyway. Now notice, those guards were like the peace of God that guards our heart. The peace of God stands like a sentinel over our heart. And if something starts trying to get into our life that is not God's will, the peace is removed. But if it is God's will, the peace settles over us. The peace of God is how God guides us in our decision making. You make a financial decision and you have peace about it, a deep abiding peace. Or you totally lose your peace. And boy, I tell you, if you don't know, don't go. If you lose your peace, stop. Put on the brakes. Because if you lose your peace, God is talking to you. The Holy Spirit is a subjective witness, guides us by his peace and by his inner promptings. And he guides by taking peace away or giving us his peace. With anything you do in life as his child, the Holy Ghost by peace is going to guide you. And show you what is right, what is wrong, what God is amening, what he's not. That's why the Bible says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed to the day of redemption. When the Holy Spirit is grieved inside of us, that's the Holy Spirit removing his peace. Amen. And as he removes his peace, he's saying to us, don't do that. Don't go there. This is not a God decision. This is not a God thing. Back off. Stop. Avoid this. Go the other way. Don't do it. Amen. The grieving of the Holy Spirit. You know, when Paul and Silas went on their second missionary journey, they went to Asia, the huge region of Asia, filled with lost people. And they started to go in there and preach the gospel, which made total intellectual sense. Why would I not go into Asia and preach the gospel to the lost? But the Bible says, when they got in there, the Holy Ghost stood up inside of them and said, it says they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. So they backed off, dropped back and punted and said, well, okay, we sure assumed we should go into Asia and preach to all those people. And they said, let's go into Bithynia, a little Roman province called Bithynia. And they started going into Bithynia. But again, the Holy Ghost rose up inside of them. And it says he did not permit them. They were not permitted by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, how did the Holy Spirit forbid them and not permit them? I would venture to say he took his peace away. They couldn't understand it, but he took their peace away. You know what the Holy Ghost was up to? He had his eyes on a little town called Philippi. And when he shut Asia and he shut Bithynia, he gave Paul a dream, and they were calling him to go to Philippi. And the Philippian church was born, and the original jailhouse rock happened there. And God had a better plan, Stan. He had a better plan. And so God removed his peace twice, and they backed off, and they obeyed. And they ended up in Philippi in a great move of God, and you know the rest of the story. So the Bible says when God removes his peace, pay attention. When God gives peace, pay attention. But here's what I want to say about the peace of God, and listen carefully to this. The inner witness is not infallible like the word is. You know why? Because your soul can masquerade as the Holy Spirit and often does. That's why the inner witness is not infallible like the Word of God. The Word of God is an objective standard that does not change and is never wrong. But the inner leading can be wrong. How many of you honestly can say, you know, there have been some times in my life I just knew something was God's will, but it turned out my inner leading was wrong? Amen. Come on. Yeah, a bunch of you. I guarantee you, I know exactly what that's like. You can feel within yourself. You can be so convinced. This is of God. I feel right about this. This seems right to me. Looks right. Feels right. This has to be God. But the inner leading can be wrong. It can be wrong. It can lead you astray because your soul and the spirit are so closely connected that it's very hard sometimes to tell the difference between what your soul is saying because it wants something to be the will of God and what the Spirit of God is actually saying. Oh, Lord, I just know I'm supposed to marry that person. I just know it. I love them. I wouldn't love them if it wasn't God. Oh, you can love somebody and not be God. I see some of you going, well, about time I walked out of here. Watch this now. Oh, the inner witness. Oh, I just know. But then you say to them, but are they saved? Well, not yet. But I believe that my love is going to transform them. And I'll get them into church. Honey, let me tell you something. If they're not going to church before they know you, they're not going after they know you. Most times. And I'm just quoting Paul. How do you know, old woman, whether you're going to save your husband? And how do you know, old man, whether you're going to save your wife? But the inner leading can be very convincing. And the only thing that can help you discern between God's will and your own soul is the Word of God. Listen to what it says. God's Word is living. It's powerful. It's sharper than a sword that cuts both ways. Now listen to what this says. It cuts straight into where the soul and spirit meet, and it divides them. It tells what the heart is thinking about and what it wants to do. The Word of God, when you open those pages and you begin to read and seek God about something that you want to know, is this your will or not? Am I being guided by you? Because it seems to me, Lord, this is you. The Word of God, like a sword, will cut between your soul and what it wants and the Spirit and what the Spirit is really saying and help you see the difference. That's why some people don't come to a word-preaching church. You know how many people in our day won't go to a church that preaches the Word anymore? They want feel-good, tickle-my-ear sermons because they don't want to hear things like this. But you know what? I want to be in a church that tells me the truth, that preaches the Word, that helps me grow, even if it stings a little bit sometimes. Seriously. We often hear somebody say, I feel led to go here, go there, do this or that. But they don't run it through the sifter of God's Word. They never do. Some people. They never do. They say, I feel led. You got to be careful of that. Listen, deception walks in when we place inner leading over the authority of Scripture. The third harbor light is circumstances. So you've got, first harbor light is the Word. If the Word amens it, looking good. Second harbor light, the inner leading that will always agree with the Word. Third harbor light, circumstances. The Bible teaches that the circumstances of our life are in the hands of a providential God, and He orders the circumstances of our life. And when God is leading, watch this, church, He will providentially bring circumstances into agreement with where He is taking us. Have you ever noticed that? The finances will come in when God is leading you. That once impossible door opens up all of a sudden, and you had nothing to do with it. God is leading. The things that you needed in order to pursue that certain path all of a sudden fall into place. When God showed us this building, we had the inner peace. This was it. But we had a real problem. Circumstances. We didn't have any money. So He said, Lord, if this is your will and you're leading us, then the circumstances are going to come together on our behalf. And you know that the owner called me and said, let me meet with you. And I went and met with the owner. And we sat down. And when we stood back up, we had this building. For the same amount of money we were paying for a building that was like 10 times smaller, God made a way where there was no way. He took us through the Red Sea. I love the way God took His people through the Red Sea. It was His will. It's my will to get you out of Egypt and into the promised land. But I'm going to have to make a way circumstantially where there is no way. So God said, that's okay. Stand back. I'm going to blow on that sea, and I'm going to part it, and I'm going to blow on that mud, and I'm going to dry it up. And you're going to go through that sea with two high walls of glistening water on either side. And I'm going to carry you across as on dry land. And when you get to the other side, you're going to break into a dance because you're going to know there is no way this could have happened but by the Word and God Himself making a way. Amen. And you know what gets me is those Egyptian soldiers. What fools. They were crazy. Listen, if I'm an Egyptian soldier and Pharaoh says to me, chase them, and they're going across with two walls of water on either side on dry land because God dried it up, I'm saying, dude, thank you, but I am right now AWOL. Because when the last Israeli got to the other side, God pulled his hand back and that sea closed in on the Egyptian army. They have found chariot wheels at the bottom of that sea. Amen. From Pharaoh's army being swallowed up. God made a way where there was no way. That's circumstances. But I got to close with this. Listen carefully. Even though circumstances are one of the ways that God leads, it's not infallible. Just like the inner leading is not infallible, neither are circumstances. And I'll give you a quick example. David. When King David was running from Saul, we know that King David ran for 10 years. He was stalked by Saul for 10 years. And they lived a lot in caves and under the open sky at night. And they were always wondering, is he going to find us today? And one day, David and his men are in a cave. And they're in a cave hiding. And it just so happened, in came Saul. And he lays down and goes to sleep with all these eyeballs in the back of that cave looking at him. David and his men. Now, listen, if you're David and his men, here's what you think. Well, it looks to me like circumstances have given me this man, and it's time for me to take care of my enemy. As a matter of fact, his men said, this is the day of which the Lord told you, behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do to him as it seems good to you. But look what David did. Watch this carefully. Even though the circumstances were totally convincing, they looked totally of God. What are the odds that this man who is trying to kill me would of all of the caves in this area have walked into this one and laid down right in front of me and gone to sleep right in front of me as if to say, come get me. But David defaulted to the word. He said, I know the Bible too well. The Bible says you shall not put your hand against the Lord's anointed. Now his men were sitting there saying, come on, David, if you won't do it, I'll do it. David said, don't you touch the Lord's anointed. Now watch this. He said, I know what the circumstances look like, but they're not infallible. Even though it looks every which way but loose that this is God, it's not. Because the word tells me it's not. You shall not put your hand against the Lord's anointed. He cut off a little piece of Saul's robe, and you know the rest of the story. He went a long distance away and held it up to Saul when he came out of the cave. He said, I could have killed you, but I didn't. See, the word saved his future. Because if he had killed Saul, it would have always been said, David grabbed the kingdom by his own hand. But he waited for God to take Saul out. And when God took him out in battle, David stepped into the throne by God's hand. So you see, even though circumstances looked right, they were wrong. I want you to say with me, the three harbor lights are God's word, God's inner leading, and circumstances. But only the word is infallible. The inner leading and circumstances must submit to the word. If they contradict the word, it ain't God. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Pastor Jeff. If you happen to miss part of this broadcast, or if you want to listen to this message again, you can do so by visiting our website at lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us. From there, you will have access to plenty of resources available to you. You can download and listen to our daily podcast messages to start your day off right and encourage you throughout the day. You can also get full access to current and previous Life Talk radio broadcasts and catch up on any sermons that you have missed. To get a copy of today's message or this entire sermon series, give us a call toll-free at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Our friendly staff will be standing by to assist you and even offer you a special discounted price so you can get your own copy of your favorite sermon series from Pastor Jeff. This is our way of thanking you for your unwavering support of Life Talk. Once again, the number is 877-884-3111, or visit our website at lifetalkradio.us for more information. You've been listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Join us again next time as we start a brand new series we're calling The Foundation That Does Not Fall. Thank you for listening today. We look forward to being with you again here on Life Talk Radio. Until then, God bless.